Hi, we're on the series of Galatians, and we've been at it. This is the seventh installment of it, so a lot of stuff in Galatians. And, you know, we started off talking a lot about the law and grace and different things like that. And today we're going to go into the deeds of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit. Now, even though, as we know, you and I are born again, and we're a new creation in Christ, there's still that old nature that tries to rear up its ugly head sometimes. Things that we have to deal with. And that old nature is referred to in the Bible as our flesh. Now, fortunately, God has given us another option that you and I can live by if we choose to do so. So instead of deeds of the flesh, we can live by the fruit of the Spirit. Now, the fruit is operated by grace and is at our disposal 24/7. Now, last week, when I announced this, I talked about the fruit of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit, which the fruit of the flesh is talked about in a different passage of Scripture. But here we're talking about deeds, so it kind of, I want to make sure, and there's going to be a little difference in those two words, and we're going to look at those in a minute. So Galatians chapter 5, verse 19 to 21, this is probably one that we kind of, probably don't reference a whole lot. It deals with some of the carnal side of our life. And, you know, we all have carnality in our life and things that hold us back and from doing God's best. And it says, in verse 19, it says, "Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife." I got to take a breath here for a minute. Then it goes into jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, and factions. Envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Okay. So we're going to look at these are the deeds of the flesh, and then we're going to break into the fruit of the Spirit, which will be a lot more fun, okay? Let's pray. Father God, we do thank you so much for the power of your Spirit. Holy Spirit, we thank you that the walk of the Spirit is a walk of power. Lord, we thank you for that restoration power that happens in our life, that as we're not conformed to this world, but we're being transformed by the Word of God. Lord, thank you so much for that power that's just working in the through the Word of God in our lives, Lord, that's just making those changes in our life that need to be done. And we do thank you so much just for your power just to be manifest here today. And Lord, we give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so as we're going to see here in a moment, we're talking about the deeds and the fruit and the difference between the two. Now, deeds, when it's talking about this, it's equal to works of the flesh under a manifestation of the old life. Now, the old life is something that you and I have inherited. We're born with it due to the sin in the Garden of Eden of Adam and Eve. So it's not your fault. So don't, you know what I mean? We can blame them, but they ain't going to do no good either. You know, so, but the good news is God has provided a way of escape. But nevertheless, until we die and go to heaven and then wait till Jesus comes again and we get our glorified body, that's the only time we're going to be free from the total old nature. I guess we're free from it when we go to heaven. I mean, because our spirit and soul will be up there. But, you know, the idea of this old nature that you and I have to struggle with. To me, I've always pictured in my mind, you remember those old war movies where they used to dig a trench and they would get in there and they'd fight and they'd just go incrementally trying to take a little bit of ground back? You know, now we push buttons from far away and just bomb the tar out of them. But, you know, for primarily though, back then it was trench warfare. And really, that's what it's like in our walk sometimes, because you got the walk of the Spirit, meaning the Holy Spirit, And then you got the deeds of the flesh that are trying to manifest that old nature. Just think, hasn't your old nature kind of surprised you sometimes? Where you thought you were past that already? You know, maybe you're not the type of person that gets angry very easy. But then all of a sudden, something just sets you off like a bomb. And boom, outburst of anger. Where'd that come from? Well, it's a deed of the flesh. It's that old nature that is still, you know, living inside of us. And every now and then, when we choose to give in to the carnal side of our life, those things can happen. Now, the good news is, by walking in the fruit of the Spirit and the power of the Spirit, I believe that we can, you know, overcome those things and get to the place where the old nature is pushed down and put aside, and we can walk in that newness of life. But at any given moment, it could happen. So I want to warn us not to feel shame. Now, this is talking about a danger at the end we're going to look at about those who choose to live this way. And maybe you know somebody. You know what I'm saying? Or maybe you're sitting by somebody right now that choose to operate this way. You can identify these different deeds of the flesh that are very common. Well, that's another danger thing. You know, it just talks about will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, what's that mean to you? We're going to look at that in a minute. But for the most part, we have to understand that our fallen nature that you and I have to deal with is that we were never, ever, ever created to live that way. When God created Adam in the Garden of Eden and then took Eve from Adam, they were supposed to live in perfection and to be able to walk into fellowship with God and to be able to have dominion over the earth. That was their mandate. That's what God told them to do. They were never to live out of the old nature, the flesh. But, you know, what we got is a byproduct of rebellion. When they rebelled against God, then the fruit of the, or not the fruit, I just keep saying that because the Bible says you'll know them by their fruits. You know, that's where I keep going to. But the deeds of the flesh start to manifest in our life. So deeds are actions, while fruit are manifestation of the Holy Spirit, not by us. So deeds of the flesh manifest by striving, while the fruit of the Spirit is manifested by yielding. Okay, so the deeds of the flesh is a strive thing. Have you ever had to strive? You know, maybe you just wanted something so bad, or maybe you didn't fit into a certain thing, a certain circle, or at work, or whatever the case may be. So you had to strive and to push, and that feeling of unsettledness, all these things, it's a carnal feeling. Okay? Those start to stir up. But then on the other hand, it comes the fruit, it's a byproduct of us yielding to the Holy Spirit. It's not something we have to try for or to fight for, because it's given by grace. Now, to walk that fine line, I mean, it is difficult, you know, to get to that sweet spot, you know, where you can, you know, walk by the Spirit, and, you know, you have to still make right choices, and finding that place is very important. You know, just like a sweet spot in a baseball bat, right? When that ball hits that sweet spot, it flies. It just flies. But it's got to hit that sweet spot. Now, the deeds of the flesh are like weeds. They automatically, they grow automatically without needing nurture or care. Have you ever noticed that? A weed just, I mean, you can try to put something you eat out or a flower and try to get that thing to grow sometimes. And sometimes it just resists because it just needs a lot of help. On the other hand, a weed just seems like they thrive. Because that's just a picture of the fallen nature. And that's why the carnal nature in us sometimes tries to thrive in our life. Because we live in this world system. and it's doing everything to activate that flesh nature in us, gets us irritated, gets us agitated. You know, you can't hardly watch the news very long without getting a little irritated sometimes, right? You know, I used to get, you know, really irritated. You know, I was just watching, and I watched too much of it. So finally I quit. So I'm very uninformed, but I am happier. You know what I'm saying? Did you hear what happened? Nope. Never heard that. Thanks for telling me, though. You know, I don't know. I don't know half what's going on around the world sometimes. I mean, I get emails about Christian stuff, and I kind of stay in that flow. But, you know, primarily, if you just watch the news long enough or whatever, or maybe you get agitated at some people on Facebook about what they post, I mean, it just churns water. Have you ever tried to look in water and it's very clear? You can see everything, right? What happens when you churn that water up a little bit? You ever see what happens to that water? It gets ugly, don't it? You can't see through it anymore. And see, that's what happens when you and I allow ourselves to get churned up all the time. So that's why the Bible says, very wisely, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it flow the issues of life. So that's why we need to guard our heart and not allow ourselves to get in that carnal feeding frenzy. Because carnal thoughts lead to carnal actions. Simple as that. If our mind is set on the things of the flesh, carnality, all the things that go with that, well then, it's only natural that not too far down the road there's going to be a carnal action. And we don't want that, do we? We don't want that. You know, especially if you're trying to be an evangelist at work. You know what I'm saying? If you're trying to lead people to Christ and share the love of God with them, then all of a sudden you get carnal, and then that kind of wrecks everything, don't it? Well, fruit, on the other hand, equals being birthed and abiding with the Holy Spirit, who is the Spirit of grace. That's one of his characteristics, the Spirit of grace. That's what they call him. That's his name. And so the fruit just starts to manifest, and everybody likes fruit, right? I mean, I know a few people don't like fruit. I don't understand it, but, you know, I do. I like fruit. Good old banana or apple, blueberry, you know, whatever. Good stuff. I like it. You know, and, you know, I used to make smoothies. I need to get back on. I used to do a blueberry and strawberry smoothie with a bunch of protein. And, you know, that was just my morning routine. And now I ran out of protein and I need to get some. And I'll be honest, I wake up and I don't know what to do with myself. What am I going to eat now? You know, I mean, I know. So today I was walking around the kitchen. Finally, I ate peanut butter and toast. I don't mind that. So had a little bit of that, but that's not the protein source I really need because it's got other stuff there. But, you know, so I need to get some protein. Make a note of that, Denise. Yeah, we need to buy some protein. We've been talking about it, just haven't pulled the trigger. But, you know, the fruit is so enjoyable. It's enjoyable to have, and especially fresh fruit. See, our fruit of the Spirit is for others to enjoy, while deeds of the flesh are self-gratifying. Now, that's what we've got to remember. If you read those deeds of the flesh, a lot of them were self-gratification. And what does self-gratification lead to? It's carnal growth, right? Now, the fruit of the Spirit, a lot of these things we're going to look at, and I know we haven't read them yet. You guys are probably sitting there on the edge of your seats just waiting for the fruit. I know you are. You know, but that fruit is primarily for others to enjoy. And as we're doing it, now, this is an old saying that we used to have, but it says, we are not called to be fruit inspectors, but we also know them by their fruit, right? You know, our job in life as a Christian is not to go around inspecting everybody's fruit. That's a God job, right? That's a God job. We let him do it. But on the other hand, we'll know them by their fruit, meaning there's certain things that maybe we need to stay away from. People who live a certain lifestyle, especially if you yourself struggle with the same issues in your walk. You know what I'm saying? You know, water seeks its own level, correct? So it's only natural that we would try to fit in with somebody that's similar to us. But if we're struggling with something in our life, I mean, we need to be with somebody better than us in their walk. so they can bring us up instead of running the risk of getting involved. Let's just say, I'll just throw one out here. We're going to go into it real quick. Pornography, sexual things. If you struggle with that sort of stuff in your life, I mean, the last thing you want to do is go and, you know, be and hang around with somebody that maybe watches that stuff on the internet or whatever, maybe has it on their TV set or whatever the case may be. Why? Because it keeps you safe. It keeps you out of that fray and out of that mess. And so we need to be careful of that. So there's categories of deeds, of which I gathered when putting this study together, and they break them down in different things. And the first one is going to be talking, like I just mentioned, sensual or sexual sins. Sensual or sexual sins. They're immorality, impurity, and sensuality. Immorality is the Greek word porneia. Does that sound like something familiar? Porneia. Pornography, right? That's where we get that word. And so that deed of the flesh is any sexual sin, whether fornication or adultery. It kind of takes care of both of those. Fornication is sex out of marriage, and adultery is sex with somebody, not your spouse, in marriage. Both those things are a deed of the flesh. And God frowns upon these. Impurity is talking about uncleanness or whoredom. Well, these are really getting in there, ain't they? Really laying them out. And then the last one is sensuality, which is lustfulness. Just seeks to satisfy self, and that's what lust does. Lust is self-satisfying in comparison to love. And love is giving, while lust is taking, okay? So these three sins are kind of your sexual sins, that deeds of the flesh that we need to be careful. Why are these so important? Well, if you remember in 1 Corinthians 6, and we're just going to look at verse 18, but there's a couple verses ahead of that that kind of deals with it too. Paul is saying here, and you have to remember who he's talking to. Who's the crowd? A lot of these churches that he is talking to, inside of the religions, the pagan religions that there, dealt with sexual stuff. You know, there was temple prostitutes, both male and female, where people would go. I don't know how that exactly worked, you know, but I guess they looked at it as a form of worship, you know. Probably along the lines of they were worshiping some god of fertility, and that was how they gave their offering. That's a man-made religion right there. You know what I'm saying? That's, God didn't invent that, man did. But it says here, and that's who Paul's kind of dealing with. I mean, we have a lot of sexual problems in our culture, but, you know, It's been prevalent throughout all history. It says here in verse 18 of 1 Corinthians 6, flee immorality. Every other sin that man commits is outside the body, but the moral man sins against his own body. So that's kind of interesting. All the other sins that we do is against outside the body, but when we commit a sexual sin, it's against our own body, which is a temple of the Holy Spirit. So however that works. Right before that, before verse 16, it says, the one who joins himself to a prostitute becomes one body with her, okay? So there must be something to the fact that sexual union brings a connection, whether it's a spiritual or a soul connection, and you know, God intended that to be a sacred connection between a man and his wife. And when that illegal, shall we say, or wrong union is committed, it brings some of that stuff along with it, all the different things. So I'm not going to go into that too much more. But it's something that we'd be careful about. Next one's religious sins. Okay. Religious sins. First one Now we're going to be talking about idolatry and sorcery. Idolatry is worshiping something other than the true God, okay? God doesn't want any idols, right? You know, a lot of times we can have idols. Sometimes, you know, whether we mean to or not, some people can worship the cross. We're not supposed to worship the cross. We worship the one who hung on the cross and rose from the dead. You see what I'm saying? Got to be careful. And when I was in other countries doing mission work, like in Greece, they would have these icons. And there was pictures of some of the saints, some of them maybe just Mary, or they called her Panagia. And they would come and they would, everybody would come up and they would kiss this picture, an icon. It was like it was metal, even brass made or something. Pretty fancy little deal. I watched them do it. And they would come up and kiss it, then they'd give it a wipe, then kiss it, then give it a wipe. I mean, they had it down to a science. But that's worshiping a thing. And different people, you know, sometimes we get the idea of worshiping things that are not God, things that are creation and not creator. That's when we get into trouble, okay? Then it talks about sorcery, and I wanted to throw another Greek word in here, and this is one we should maybe kind of be familiar with. It's called pharmakia. The Greek word for sorcery here, or witchcraft is another translation, is the Greek word pharmakia. And it's talking about drugs and potions, the use of drugs. Now, does that mean everybody that uses drugs is in witchcraft? I'm not saying that. But I am saying we open a door. You know what I mean? We open a door for things. And so why is that, you know, with the idea of drugs, anybody that's ever done drugs or alcohol, maybe you've never done that, and God bless you if you've never tried anything. But all that stuff does, it alters your state a little bit, doesn't it? It's an altered state, whether it be through narcotics or whether it be through alcohol. And it gets us, you know, into an area where, you know, it opens us up. It lowers our, for Star Trek terms, lowers our force field, right? And then it's open to let other things in. And that can maybe come in and hurt us. Now, I'm not saying you're demon-possessed or anything like that. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm just saying we need to be careful and we need to close the door of things, you know, when we open the door to it, you know. So those are kind of dangerous. Next, I need to pick up the pace here a little bit. People sins. This is how we treat each other. Number one, you got enmities. This is hostility or state of being an enemy. You know, every now and that happens in life, don't it? There's some people, I mean, does anybody here have any enemies? Oh, you're scared to raise your hand. I see it. You guys been around good. That's good. You guys are pretty sharp, pretty sharp. But at one time in our life, we probably felt like we had an enemy. Somebody that, you know, done us wrong, whatever the case may be. So that's a deed of the flesh. And then you got strife. You know, strife's a bummer, isn't it? I mean, it happens, doesn't it? You know, it's a bummer. Have you ever tried to work with somebody that you're in strife with? Or maybe be married to somebody that you're in strife with? It's brutal, isn't it? You just can't, I mean, it just, you know, you almost go out of your way to win that thing, don't you? Huh? To make sure they know you're right and they're wrong. So you got strife, then you got jealousy. Jealousy is a strong feeling of resentment towards someone. You know, when you're jealous of somebody. Then one I mentioned earlier, you have outbursts of anger. That's a sudden release of emotion. And some people struggle with that. I remember, you know, I haven't seen anybody like this for a little while, but I remember working with a guy, and that guy just every now and then, he'd just blow up. Just a little pipsqueak of a guy. I mean, I just don't know how he survived, you know, with that kind of attitude. I mean, it's a wonder somebody just didn't deal with him, you know what I mean? But he seemed like he hung in there for a while. But he just all of a sudden, just boom, he was mad. That's just the way it was, outbursts of anger. So that's a sudden release of emotion. Then you got disputes. That's a motive of self-interest. You know, when you always negotiating so you get the best deal, you know what I mean? So that's kind of what that's talking about. Then you got dissensions. That's talking about division or separation. You know, that's, you know, divisions, you know, the devil's area, right? He'll try to divide. You know, there's power in unity, power in connection, right? And that's what we was at AFCM this week. That's what they talked about, connection. And it was really good. And, you know, I really, to be honest, all the years I've ever been there, I've never felt so connected in my life. And that's saying a lot for me. You know, it went really good, you know. But connections, but, you know, division ain't no good. Get you all separated off by yourself, you know, like the little gazelle out in the African safari or, you know, whatever. And the lion, who's he go for? He don't go for the herd. He goes for the one off by himself. And the devil can get you in the flesh and get you off divided. Well, then he's going to start messing with your mind. He's going to get you thinking about things and get you cut from the herd. And then you got factions, talking about heresy from religious worship, you know, and there is some weird stuff out there. That's why we got to be careful. We stay with the Bible. We stay with the Word. You know, what's the Bible say about it? If the Bible don't talk about it, then, you know, you can speculate a little bit, but just be careful. You know, don't believe all that different stuff that doesn't mean anything, that tries to lead us into weird stuff, whatever that is. Then you got, did we do envying? Yeah. No. Dissensions, factions. Okay, envying is pain felt when you see excellence in someone else. You know what I mean? Somebody that's doing it right and we ain't quite there yet. Yeah. Not a drag. Then you got your social sins. That's the last part. Then we're going to get into some good stuff. You got drunkenness and you got carousing. Been there, did that, bought the t-shirt and burned the shirt. You know what I'm saying? Drunkenness means to get drunk. Simple as that. Pretty simple, isn't it? Not supposed to get drunk. Can a Christian drink? I'm not going to answer that question. That's between you and God. Amen. But I can tell you, you better not get drunk. That takes it too far. So if you know that balance line, I mean, more power to you. I don't. I stay away from it. That's just me. I don't need it. I'm high on Jesus, glory to God. Then you got carousing. That's drunken festivities when you go and, you know, to me, I consider carousing something else, but it really talks about drunken festivities. So then it goes on to say things like these means this is not everything that is a deed of the flesh. Means there's more to this list that's similar things, you know, those things that don't glorify God. And it says here that those who practice these things will not inherit the kingdom of God. And that's where it gets a little scary. Now, the word practice means habitually practice, and it's not just a stumble. I'm not saying Christians don't stumble, because we do, right? You know, we make mistakes. We may stumble. We may, you know, whatever the case may be. But somebody who chooses to live like this, and I've used this illustration way back 20 years ago in the church, you know, I won't even go into that one. We better move on. Lack of time. Let's get into the fruit of the Spirit, and I'm going to try to pick this up a little bit here. So the fruit of the Spirit is what we want to walk in. That's in 5:22-23. It says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Okay, so here's the good stuff that we can operate as a Christian. Now, in the natural, we can dabble in some of these things. But these are talking about the Holy Spirit living through us, causing us to manifest this fruit in our life. And there's a difference. I know a lot of people can be loving without God, but it's not the God kind of love. It's not agape love. Okay? So, love is talking about the agape, which is a Greek word, and it's a God kind of love. And some say that the rest of the fruit is encompassed by love. So love is a motivating force for the rest of this fruit. I'm not saying it is or isn't. I'm just saying what people have said. So love seeks the benefit of others while lust seeks to satisfy self. Okay, we talked about that a moment ago. So what's that mean? It means if we're walking in love, especially if we're a husband or a wife, and we're walking in love, we're seeking the benefit of our spouse. Amen. But if we're not walking in love, and we're locking in lust, we can just be self-seeking, self-satisfying, not giving, but taking. And we may go into this in some marriage stuff later a little bit about that. So we want to make sure that we walk in this kind of love. Next word's joy. Joy of the spirit, not of our emotions. Joy that doesn't come from earthly things. The fruit of joy differs from circumstantial happiness. It's not about things going right for you, but you can have this kind of joy in the midst of great turmoil. This is a God kind of joy. It comes from the Holy Spirit. Then the next word, these are kind of good. Peace. Everybody wants peace, right? Right? I mean, peace. I mean, if you've never had peace and then you get peace, you want peace. Peace is cool. It's talking about tranquility or opposite of war, meaning, and this is another word for peace, and it also means it in the Hebrew a little bit similar to this, which is the Hebrew word shalom. This is a different word, irene, I think. But it says, it's talking about health, welfare, and prosperity, every kind of good. That's what peace is. Now, have you ever thought about it like that? Sometimes, when you think about peace, I think quiet. Peace and quiet. Those two go together. Just give me a little bit of peace and quiet. You know, let me alone for a little bit. Help me to get my peace back. But this peace is talking about, it's not just quiet, but it's talking about when we walk in peace, we walk in that health and welfare and prosperity. I mean, that's an awesome thing that we can walk in that. Then the next word is patience, meaning long-suffering. That is that quality that enables a person to bear adversity, injury, reproach. It's self-restraint before proceeding to action, you know, and that's a good thing. Some people can't do that. Some people can't do that on their own. That's why we need that patience. Then you got kindness. That's provides something beneficial to someone. You know, godly kindness, you know, when you see somebody operating in that. And that just blesses me. I mean, when you see people being kind. We tell this to the kids, but we need to tell each other. It doesn't cost us anything to be kind. I mean, how much does it cost? Nothing. It's free. Then you got goodness, the act of generous giving. I want to be goodness and faithfulness. That's a firm conviction or belief in the truth, characteristic of the man who is reliable. We need to be faithful in whatever it is, faithful to our marriages, faithful to our relationships, faithful to the church, faithful to our job. You know, all these things is a fruit of the Spirit. And when we walk in these things, it starts to open doors for us. Then you got gentleness. That's the inwrought grace of the soul or attitude of humility, being teachable operating gentleness. And then you have self-control. That means to exercise complete control over one's desires and actions. And, you know, we need that. We need to put ourselves under the control. Really, self-control, be controlled by the Spirit. You know, we're walking in that. Now, last couple verses here, we're going to wrap this up so we can get into verse 6, or chapter 6. And chapter 6 has a lot of great stuff in it that we need to get into. It says, now those who belong to Christ Jesus, in verse 24, have crucified the flesh with his passions and desires. Meaning, we die to passions and desires by walking in the Spirit. That's how we overcome the flesh. Now, fasting doesn't hurt. Fasting puts yourself down, right? But it's not talking about the idea of abusing your flesh. I mean, some people, due to their religious thing, whatever group they're with, some people walk on their knees for miles in some of these other countries to show how serious they are about their faith. I mean, God doesn't need us to walk on our knees through the parking lot or grass or through rock, cutting ourselves to pieces. But some do that. That masochistic whatever type of putting your body down, that's not what this is needing. You know, to crucify our flesh, we walk by the Spirit. The Spirit is what puts that to death. Verse 25, if we live by the Spirit, then we'll also walk by the Spirit. You know, living and walking in the Spirit is the only life there is, because the walk of the Spirit is the walk of power. The walk of the Spirit is the walk of redemption. The walk of the Spirit is the walk of revelation. When we're walking in the Spirit, it opens up a whole new realm for each and every one of us to be able to receive from God. To me, it takes us to a place we've never been before that God wants to reveal to us. But to do that, we have to be linked and tied to the Holy Spirit, so that he can take us and lead us and guide us and bring us to the place that we need to be. So many times we settle just for the comfort or the status quo, when God has so much more. He wants to take us to those places. Then lastly, in verse 26, we made it. It says, let us not become boastful, challenging one another, envying one another. Okay. That's just a good one, how we get along. You know, to me, I see that saying, live humbly, because I know it's not me, but he that lives in me, living through me. That's what it is. You know, we need to honor, and we need to respect each other. We need to walk in humility. We don't need to put others down to make us feel better about ourselves, right? Some people feel they got to, get rid of the competition. But no. When we try to make others better, we make ourselves better. Simple as that. When we bless others, we become blessed. Amen? Amen. It's all part of that unity and that walk with God, bringing us along this journey and wanting to go deeper in the things of God. And we're never supposed to go there alone. We're supposed to go there together. Amen? Amen? All right, so we survived the fruit of the flesh. Is anybody here in pain right now? Hopefully not. But we've got the fruit of the Spirit too, so focus on that. Putting those things out of your life. Don't choose to live by the flesh. And if you struggle in those areas, some of those things that keep holding you back, you know, I know God can set you free. He's got the power. You know, we don't have to settle. We don't have to live like that. I do remember in closing, at one time we had a couple kids in our church, and they came from a really rough situation. And one of them said to the other, we just need to decide that we don't have to live like that. And they're both successful today. They're both successful today. Hallelujah. It comes by deciding that you don't want to settle and you want to go deeper in the things of God. Amen? All righty, let's pray.